kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Title for us to talk on, and we're calling this teaching today, Guard Your Hearts. Guard Your Hearts. And the Lord has been impressing to me this week with regard to our hearts, and very often it's when he's dealing with the heart, or there's further heart surgery spiritually that needs to be done. And he reminded me of my teachings and studies years and years back in theology, when we were discussing the heart of man. And I always remember in my teachings that the heart is the emotions, it is the seat, it is the person. And I was always struck by that, because for me that gave me a very clear understanding of us as a person. And it is, of course, that area of which God places a new heart. And that is why it takes the new birth, a new creation. That is the miracle. That is the change that takes place, is that new heart. And from the heart is the seat of our emotions, our thinking, our being. Why do I stress this? Because sin, unbelief, rebellion changed all of that that God had made. God had made man after the Father's heart. In other words, we could say that God placed his heart, his spirit, his image within us that makes us unique out of all the creation of God. And what sin has done over the thousands of years has changed man's heart, has changed his mind, his thinking, his outlook, his belief, his morality, his judgment, his wisdom, everything and more changed when man sinned. And through Christ, God's Lamb that he offered up for the sin of the world, is now, not only has he changed all of that within us, which we have received by faith, but the working out now in this life, why he tarries and why we walk by faith and learn the word of God, is that we are restored back in the heart, the seat of the emotions, to experience our Father's heart, his heart. You can confidently say in your faith and confession, I have received back my Father's heart, which he has placed within me. And that is why God gets to our faith, to our heart. When we express and talk about the faith and the deeper life, it is talking about you, the person. It is talking about what has been restored back to you, your Father's heart, created again through Jesus Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And our responsibility is that we guard that which has been graciously given to us. As we learn, as we walk by faith, and as we overcome, God expects something from us. And if you have been given a priceless treasure that you can put no money upon that, you are going to guard that with your life. And that is what God expects. He expects us to learn from the word. We are to guard our hearts, because from the heart is the issue of life. Jesus had much to say about the heart. He said it's not what goes into the heart that defiles, it's what comes out. And so, because of what can potentially come out of the heart, which can be blessings or cursings, we have to guard the heart. And another reason why we're to guard our hearts is because the Word of God tells us we don't know our hearts. We don't know the depths of our hearts. We don't know what is there until a trial and testing comes. And we have shown you over the years that that is one of the reasons why we go through the trials and testings that we do, because it is revealing the heart that is within us. And there are times in our trials and testings that what comes forth is an encouragement, is a blessing. Praise God, things are changing in my life. Things are happening. God is at work. He's doing that heart surgery in me. And there are other times what comes out of the heart through a trial that we bow our knee and ask God to have mercy and forgiveness on us. Why do we have those experiences? Because that is the heart. That is what has happened. That is what sin has done through the fall. And then we begin to appreciate and understand when we look back to Calvary and what it cost our Saviour. We begin to appreciate and understand how he's restoring us back in that standing and fellowship with Almighty God. And all of this is appropriated as we walk daily by faith, looking to the Lord. So we're calling this teaching today, with that introduction, Guard Your Hearts. Now, in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, we all know this story very well, but Samuel is to anoint a king. Saul has sinned. He has fallen short of the standard. And so an anointed king after God's heart is needed to lead and guide the nation of Israel. And Samuel is looking for this king, this future king to anoint. And eventually he finds this man who is going to be the future king. And he's a shepherd boy out in the fields looking after the sheep. And here we take it up in verse 7. He says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look to his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Samuel is learning that God has rejected Saul, so don't look to him. Don't look to his stature. Don't look to what he is. God looks in the heart. And of course, eventually, Israel has their king, their anointed king. And we learn a lot about King David, because God tells us that this man has a heart after me. And this king sinned badly, as we know. And the law said that he should have been put to death. But God spared him. Why did God spare him? Because he had a heart after God. God had placed his heart in him. It's called the new birth. And you have to have God's heart placed in your heart instead of your old sinful heart. Now, these are some of the mysteries that we don't fully understand that take place in our salvation. And that is why you can confidently say within your trials, whatever you're going through, whatever it looks like, I have a new heart. I have my Father's heart recreated in me through Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have to say these things. Sometimes it looks so bad, but all at times we are seeing is what can potentially be there in the heart. And it's just unbelief, which God is working upon. And so that is why we make so much of this, because the heart is you. It is you, the person. And we don't know God. We don't even know his ways unless he works on those hearts. And you say to me, well, how does he work on the heart? How does he do it? Well, the nearest analogy that Jesus gave was the potter and the clay. What is that revealing to us? That is God molding me. He's working in my flesh the work that he's done in my heart in saving me. So that's why we're only ever saved once. You're not saved, continually being saved, fall into sin, then come back, saved again, fall into sin, come back, saved again, which is what most actually do and live and think today, tragically. No. We're born again once and for all. God doesn't make a mistake. He has placed that new heart within us. Our trouble is we don't always believe it, because we're still too influenced by what we see, what we feel, listening to the devil's lies and so on. But if that new heart, that new spirit is there, then God builds upon it. And God places us in the right places, the right pastures, the right ministries that's going to feed that new heart that you have within you. See, it has to be fed. How do we know? The parable of the sower. We are constantly being fed, but that seed of the word is under attack. Why is it under attack? Because it deals with the heart. And that's why we're calling this teaching today, guard your hearts. Guard that with which you hear. Don't let the predators come in and steal it. Guard your heart from the things of the world, the influences of the world that can harden the heart, the thorns, in other words. They're all there. for us in which to learn. Job has a lot to say about the heart. Did you know that in the Bible, the heart or the issues of the heart is mentioned over 1,000 times? It's that important. Now, what does it say in Job 15 and verse 13? Job 15 and verse 13. Job 16 and verse 13. My apologies. Job 16 and verse 13. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. He pours out my gall on the ground. And so it goes on. Now here, of course, it's talking about Job's reproaches and also his friends, which are not much use to him at all. He's really pouring it all out with what he's going through. And he says he's working on my heart, and it seems as though he doesn't pity me. It seems as though he's forgotten that I'm just flesh. I have a heart. This is basically what he's saying. He's pouring out all this trial, all that I'm going through. It's hurting. Doesn't God understand me? Doesn't he hear me? Is he trying to break me up? How often have we felt like that? How often have we felt that God doesn't understand me? He doesn't see what's in my heart. But the very thing that you're going through, the very complaints that come out, the very cries that come out of us are exactly what is needed, because he knows the heart and he knows what he's doing, the same as he knew what he was doing with Job. And very few will ever go through what Job went through. He lost everything, because this book is telling us about heart surgery and how God changes these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And we know that God did pity him. God did hear him, because God doubly blessed him at the end of this mighty trial. And not only that, but he made him a high priest. He made him a man of prayer, and he was able to supplicate for his 3 friends and make sacrifice for them. So look what God does. But God was also teaching Job, guard your heart. The same as he teaches us to guard that most precious part of us, which is the heart. To keep that heart soft and tender and pure. Because out of the heart are the issues of life. It says the pure in heart will see God. But the Bible also tells us that there can be a proud heart, a heart that is lifted up in its own pride. And we know that God over the years has dealt strongly with us in this assembly with regard to pride, and rightly so. And he will continue to challenge that, because it seems it can rise up unexpectedly. There are times we can be proud and haughty and we're not even aware of it until God convicts us and shows us. Sometimes when we're convicted of our pride, our haughtiness, it's because a saint has seen that in us and gone before God and prayed and interceded that God will work humility within that saint. I am convinced, how God has humbled me over the years has been the result of saints praying for me. And I thank God for that, because that is what body ministry is about. That is how we get healed, as James tells us, that we pray one for another. And when God opens our eyes to a weakness in a brother or sister, we have a responsibility. And if you don't pray that through, then the problem that you are seeing can start to affect you and the body. That's why I say we're all one in this. It's not just the preacher. We are where we are because we are in prayer, praying one for another, praying for this word that you hear, this manna, you see. So the heart can be proud and haughty and lifted up. We're to have also a thankful heart. These are all what you can find in Scripture that I've just mulled through quickly. A thankful heart, a heart that expresses that joy and thanks before God. Not only what you see God doing through you, but what he's doing in the body, in the church, in your brothers and sisters, and all the promises that we can stand upon and confess, and that how God has given us life to be able to express our life back to him in thanks and gratitude. There's so much to thank God for. Then there's a heart that trusts God. In other words, faith. And that's something that God really works on with regard to us. A heart that trusts him completely, utterly. Not just 99.5% or whatever it is, but a full 100% heart that trusts God. That God provides for my every needs. And he's still working on that one with us, isn't he, brothers and sisters? We still find that fear and anxiety that tries to well up. What is all of that? That's still the heart being worked on. Because we know that faith is a rest. And that's what we're entering into. Then there's a wise heart, a heart that applies wisdom, knows when it's the right time to sow that seed and when not to sow that seed, a time to know when to speak and to refrain from speaking. That is a wise heart. A heart that listens first to God and waits on God and doesn't run before the Lord, which so many do, because their faith is influenced by emotions and feelings. A wise heart. There's also a heart that hungers for God. Hungers for righteousness. These are all what God places within us through the new birth. So there's a heart that is always hungry, is always wanting more. And God loves that. God loves his people coming to the meetings with an expectant faith, hungry to learn, to listen, to take in more. You've got that today, brothers and sisters, because God's put that in your heart, not you. Then the Bible shows that there are those who can have a stony heart. And that's what he said over Israel. And he says, I will change that heart of stone into a heart of flesh. But there are those who have a stony heart. And what does stone signify? Well, it's not only hard, but it's cold, callous, unemotional, unloving. That's what it means by a stony heart. We once had hearts like that. Then the Bible shows us that we can have a deceitful heart. A heart that pretends. A heart that wants to believe lies, deceptions. Did you know there are people who want to believe lies? They want to turn lies into truth. We call it in denial. I learned that when I did a little psychology. And that is the one that opens people to deception. And they believe the lie that the Bible says that they do. When they no longer allow the promptings of God, the conviction of God to work in their lives, they suppress it, they ignore it all the time, and God says, I give them over to the lie, to the deception. Why does he say he does that? Because he says that's what they want to believe. It's called a deceitful heart. They deceive. They deceive one another. They lie one to another. And we live in a world of deception today. Most of what we see, hear, advertise, we read about or whatever, most of it has mixed in with it deception. Lies. What's that coming from? Deceitful hearts. Then we're told in the Bible there is the pure in heart, and they are the ones that will see God, because God has worked that purity in the heart, you see. And we're all dependent on that. That should be our prayer. That should be our confession. That is what we want. Lord, place within me a pure heart, undefiled, pure in your sight. Then God gets to surgery and he begins to work that. And it's going to take some trials. It's going to take some delays of faith. It's going to take some heart searching sometimes, or whatever it is, but you can be well assured God never makes a mistake in working the purity of the heart. And that's why we guard our hearts, because our hearts are so precious. Our hearts tell us everything in time about us. We're told that the Lord tests the hearts. And he has to do that sometimes. The same as when you were at school, you had to take tests or exams, because that would tell the teachers where you are with regard to your learning. And God does the same. Here it says, doesn't it, in Psalm 7 and verse 9, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. There we are. So God tests the heart and the mind. Now, why does he refer to the mind with this? Because the mind picks up what is in the heart. What is in your heart, the mind will pick it up and it will act and confess in accordance. So that is a good indicator what's going on in the heart. What you have been dwelling on this week, or what your mind's been on, indicates what is in the heart. Have you been confused this week? Have you lost your peace this week? Have you been thinking other thoughts of the world, the lusts of the world, instead of the word of God, or whatever it is? That's the heart. Your heart is showing something because your mind is picking it up. And so we have to guard at this point. My mind's wandering off on other thoughts, on other things. My mind's looking to other things for affection, for joy, for pleasure. You've got to guard that. And you've got to replace that with God thoughts. And God thoughts are God's word, his promises. And that's where tongues comes in, and praying in the spirit. That helps us to come back, to focus back on the heart that God has given you, because the devil's there attacking, and he's trying to attack the heart. And that's where you have to guard your mind. And of course, we know the Bible has much to say about that, putting on the mind of Christ. Guard your minds, guard your thoughts, your thinking, you see, because it's about the heart. And very often what the devil's trying to do, he's trying to throw confusion into you. That's how often he works it. Because when you're confused, you don't know what to do. You're not sure who to look at, who to trust, or whatever it is. Well, thank God we come back to God who never changes, who's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is where our trust, our hope is, because there's no confusion with him. And in time, we get our thinking, our thoughts back right in focus. We get it lined back to the word of God. We get our heart and mind back on the Lord. And in time, you realize that you really put up a guard against all of this, because you're sick and tired of the attacks. And that's why the Lord allows at times the devil to have access for a season on your mind, because he's teaching you through that you've got to guard your mind, your heart. You see, God's always in control, isn't he? Praise his name. God has a way of bringing us to the end where we're sick and tired of sinning, or allowing weakness or things to work in me or in my situation. He does. He has a way. And that's why we can confidently say in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. That's our confidence. Because it's about the heart, and the heart has to be guarded. You see, the heart tells us how much water flows from the heart. We're not completely sure about that, but we know that the Lord gives a wonderful analogy about the heart, which we've talked on many times before, but in John 7 and verse 38, in John 7 and verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, Jesus is showing something there about what he's going to do with the heart. What's going to happen to the heart? He's saying that a new heart is going to be placed into you, the Father's heart. And he said that new heart that you receive will be like water flowing, living waters. You see, he's giving these analogies for us to understand. He uses everyday things that we are aware of, that we work with. We are associated every day with water, because water is survival. It's what keeps us alive. We may see water on our journey. We were talking about earlier about the floods that we're having, and we're having a lot of floods. What is that reminding us of? Water. When you turn your tap on to fill up the kettle, it's water. And not only is it water, but it's water in abundance. And he says, that is your heart, if you have that new heart. He says, out of it flows living water. And life cannot survive without water. We cannot eat our food and have our meal on our table without water. And he says, that water is your heart. That is what flows from it in abundance. Why is it we don't believe? Because we're not guarding the heart that issues out that water. You're allowing the enemy in to influence, to buffet, to deceive, to work fear and unbelief. But praise God, he doesn't give up on us, because that is our Father's heart. You see, in the last days, the heart is going to be exactly what happened to the first world that God destroyed. And we know it very well in Genesis 6 and verses 5 to 6. And this is what the Lord said over that world. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Twice the heart is mentioned there in two verses. Man's heart, which is become evil, and he thinks in his heart continually evil things. And God in his heart was sorry he'd ever made man. He's talking about the person, the people, the seat of the emotions. And he's saying they think only evil in the heart. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? That in the end times, it will be like the times of Noah, the times of Sodom, Gomorrah, where they think only evil in the heart. And only 8 souls were saved out of probably millions and millions and millions of people. It's mind-blowing how we need to have God's heart recreated in us. And that is what we are rapidly moving toward, where it is not in the heart. God is no longer in the heart, in the mind, in the affections of particularly this generation that is coming now. Completely reprobate. Not interested. Most sadly only know the name of Jesus that is blasphemed in swearing through people. That's their only knowledge and understanding of God. Why? Because man does not guard his heart. And that is why the God of this world that blinds the eyes of most defiles the heart, deceives the heart, turns the heart away from Almighty God. And if God doesn't call and choose and elect, then no one will survive this. And we know if we're elected, because the call is in the Word of God, the call is in the preaching, the call is in the anointing. And those who've been elected from the foundation of the world respond to that calling that is in the Word. Why? Because they know that the Word of God will work purity in the heart to see Almighty God. So there we are, brothers and sisters. We've talked a bit today about the heart, but how we also are to guard our hearts. See, that's something that God looks for. He's going to do it. He does in his mercy and grace. But you see, he doesn't force us. He's also looking to see that we are grateful and thankful for not only our salvation, that he chose us out of all the millions and billions of people, but as a return thanks, if you like, we guard our hearts. That's what he's asking us to do. And he even helps us there. But it is vital, because the heart is you. The heart is you that speaks. It is your mind. It is your thinking. It is your consecration. It is your walk of faith. And that is why God says, I change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. We have to be touched with our Father's heart. And when we are, then we will find those rivers of living water flow from us, and they never run dry. That is the miraculous side of our walk. That is what makes us different from all the rest of the religions who are trying to please God, who are trying to get to him, trying to do it through works. No, it's God who comes down to us in our state and places his heart in us. And the world will know that we walk with God by the waters that flow from our heart, our being, and what comes out of our mouth. But God has said, also guard your hearts. Praise his name.
Let him in constancy fall.